Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. We read especially about Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew, so we turn to that Gospel this morning for our special focus. And we read these words, first of all, from the genealogy of Christ, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. And then we read Matthew's version of the Christmas story. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Does anyone remember Joe the plumber? Anyone? During the 2008 presidential campaign, Joseph Wurzelbacher became briefly famous as Joe the Plumber, the symbol of the ordinary, common, average man. And as such, he was referenced in presidential debates and in stump speeches by both Bush and Obama to try to appeal to the average Joe. And for a few brief months, Joe the Plumber from Ohio became a household name, only then to slip back into obscurity after the election. Well, it so happens that one of the last names to appear in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel is also the name of Joseph. Not Joseph the plumber from Ohio, but this time it's Joseph the carpenter from Nazareth. And based on what we know of Joseph from the scriptures, it seems like he is the ultimate average Joe, hardly ever remembered except at this time of the year at Christmas. While by comparison, his betrothed, his beloved Mary, is a towering figure in the life and the ministry of Jesus and in our minds and hearts. But Joseph, you know, he's not even mentioned in Mark's Gospel. And outside the birth narratives of Jesus Christ, the only other mention of Joseph is when he and Mary took the 12-year-old Jesus to the temple at the Passover. Remember, that's when they lost Jesus for a little while. And then after that, Joseph disappears from the pages of the scriptures. We never even learn what ever happened to him. Although, of course, we read a lot about Mary. He was just an average Joe. Over and over in the scriptures, Jesus is referred to as the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, but the Son of Joseph? Hardly ever. Well, except there was that one time when Jesus' enemies said with great disdain toward Jesus, they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Poor Joseph. And then I had to kind of chuckle when I was looking up this hymn that we just sang, "By All Your Saints in Warfare," so that we could sing that special stanza about Joseph. And where do you suppose we find that special stanza about Joseph? Right where you would expect it, dead last, the very last stanza, number 14 of 14, bottom of the right-hand column. Where else would you expect to find Joseph? Joseph is like so many other people in our family trees that are forgotten over time. There are no statues to memorialize their lives. By the third generation, their memory is just gone. And their lives are remembered by little more than that dash between two dates on a gravestone. And were it not for Matthew's gospel and his account of the early life of Christ, that's about all that we would know about Joseph. He's a name in a genealogy. And that's about it. And then you come to Luke's genealogy of Christ. And it's almost like Luke plays down Joseph's role by referring to him as the supposed father of Jesus. About what you'd expect for old Joseph. Thank God that we have Matthew's gospel to give us the best glimpse that we have of what kind of man Joseph really was. And by all accounts, he was a remarkable man. When Joseph learns that his betrothed is pregnant, and knowing, of course, that he's not the father, he is only left to conclude that Mary has committed adultery, which is a capital offense. But Matthew notes that Joseph is a just man. The Greek there is dikaios. It means he's righteous. He wants to do things right by God. And so instead of being vindictive toward Mary, after all, he loves her, he decides instead to quietly divorce her, which was the kindest, the most gracious way that he could have handled this terrible predicament. And his plan perhaps shows us why God, in his infinite wisdom, chose Joseph to raise his son Jesus. Because he is such a compassionate man who seeks to do what is right. And rather than lashing out in anger, like many men might have done, Joseph chooses the way of mercy while still doing what is right by God by turning away from sin. Who better to raise God's son? And of course, that's when the angel appeared to Joseph and told him that this child was not the result of sin, but of God's grace. And that this child's name was to be Jesus because God, through him, was saving us from our sins. And the name Jesus means, the Lord saves. And upon hearing this, that in Mary's son, he and the world were about to receive their Savior, Joseph was simply faithful to God. Faithful in wanting to do right by God, who was making him righteous through God's and Mary's son. And so he took Mary as his wife, as he was told. He named the child Jesus, as he was told. He took the family to Egypt, as he was told, to protect the child from King Herod. And then he brought them back from Egypt, as he was told, to settle down in Nazareth again. Joseph may have been an average Joe, but what was decidedly not average about him, and what we remember most about him, is that he was resolutely faithful to God, who had saved him from his sins through his adopted son. So perhaps there are some times in life when you feel like you're an average Joe, like we're forgotten, or that we don't get the recognition. Joe, we want to be remembered. We want to be appreciated. We want to be someone who leaves our mark in this world. We want to live lives that are more than just represented by that little dash between two dates on our gravestone. And yet sadly, much of the mark that we leave in this world is the memory of our sins. The things that we did that hurt other people, the explosion of our tempers, the language that we used, the rumors that we spread, the failures of our character, and the hypocrisy of words and of lives that didn't match up all that well sometimes. And the best hope that we have is not to be remembered by this world, but like the thief prayed on the cross, our best hope is that we be remembered by Christ when he comes into his kingdom, and that he remember us in his infinite mercy and not remember our sins. That's our hope. You see, Jesus' earthly father, the ultimate average Joe, held something in common with all the other names in his and in our family trees. He needed the Savior. And when he gave that child the name of Jesus, it was because he too was being saved. He too needed this chosen one of God to take away his sins. God used this average Joe to protect Jesus from Herod's soldiers who ran their spears through those baby boys in and around Bethlehem. But one day Joseph's adopted son would permit himself to be run through with thorns and nails and a spear as he suffered and died for the sake of his earthly father and all who are part of his family by faith, to make us righteous in the sight of God. As the scriptures say, the Lord is our righteousness. And now Joseph is the hero of every average Joe in the kingdom of God. Having been made righteous, he also tried his best to be righteous in his life, to try to do right by God in unflagging obedience to God's commands. Not because his salvation depended on it. It didn't. Salvation was the work of his adopted son, finished at the cross, sealed for us in his Easter victory. It is not Joseph's righteous living that earned him his salvation. It was Joseph's salvation through Christ, his adopted son, that shone forth in his righteous living like a light in the darkness. And it's just that simple. And I, for one, I want to be remembered like we remember Joseph today. I know that 100 years from now, my memory will be long gone. Long gone. But as long as there is someone here on this earth who remembers me, I hope they will say of me, he was redeemed by the son of Joseph. He was made righteous through faith in Christ. And you know how we could tell? Because he was faithful, always trying to do right by God, just like Joseph, the supposed father of Jesus. And I guess you might say that Joseph is the patron saint of every average Joe in the kingdom of God, recognizing, of course, that in the sight of heaven, there is no such thing as an average Joe. There is nothing average about a man or a woman who trusts in God's Son and then tries to do what is right by God. Nothing average about that at all. So may all who come behind us find us faithful, like we do Joseph. And may the footsteps that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives that we live inspire them to obey. And may this be the legacy of the Christmas faith of every average Joe who is here among us today. Peace be to you in Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ through life to life everlasting. Amen.